Hi, this is Alan Nelson, your host for Rev Audio Magazine. Our guest today is Tammy Kelly, the Executive Pastor of Ministries at The Chapel in Libertyville, Illinois. We're going to talk today about smart and healthy church practices. Hey, Tammy, welcome.
Hi, good to be with you.
You have had an amazing ministry story of working in some of the most dynamic ministries in the country, and so I am very excited to just squeeze every bit of wisdom we have in 15 minutes out of you.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to it. I have had an amazing ride in ministry, just worked with some very fun and talented people and really have just had a blast. I love the world of ministry. I love the world of church.
Now, we're going to talk about health here and healthy practices, and I know that all across the country in 325,000 some congregations out there, there's a lot of ill health, there's a lot of dysfunction, and so talk to us a little bit about how do you define healthy practices, and what are we going to talk about today?
Well, first what kind of tripped me onto this thought is a couple of years ago I was doing some training with Patrick Lencioni, and he's an organizational consultant and has written some books. And he often will make this statement. He says, all successful organizations share two qualities. They are smart and they are healthy. And since I had the opportunity to work on several great staff teams and do some consulting with a number of churches, I started to think, how does that translate into the world of church? And what are some of the healthy church practices that I've seen? What are some of the smart church practices that I've seen? And then just taking that down to the people level, what are some of the smart people practices that I've seen over time, and what are some of the healthy people practices? And I started to kind of break those down and put them into categories and things. So what are the top two or three in each of those areas?
That is a great, great topic. Are you writing a book on it?
Well, I could.
Well, let's start with a Rev article. How about that? That'd
okay,
be terrific.
Okay, there you go. I might could do that.
So this is an appetizer. Okay, so give us two or three of those bullet points of what you think, as you see it, are really healthy church practices.
Yeah, I'll start maybe even with some smart church practices. Like when I look at a smart church, when I worked across churches, a couple of things that I see that they do, or the top three things, would be, first of all, they're obsessed with hiring great people, they're obsessed with keeping great people, and they strive for great organizational clarity. Let me just go just real quickly into, you know, each of those.
Okay.
The obsessed with hiring great people is when I'm around these kind of staff teams, whether they're looking at, whether they're having conversations with potential staff people or even key volunteers, their radar is always up, and within a five-minute conversation, they are really intuitively getting a gut read of the person. So they're looking at things like, I would call it energy, edge, and execution. So they're, as they're having a conversation with a person, evaluating, does this person bring positive energy into the conversation? Are they alive? Are they vibrant? Or edge? They're saying, what has this person done or read recently? Are they continually learning, or, you know, have they just, you know, not learned anything new for quite a long time? And then execution is they'll get a pretty quick initial read on if this person has had real ministry success in executing ministry, or have they just really read the latest three great books and they have a lot of head knowledge but not a lot of practical knowledge on it. So that's with hiring great people and being around great people, they try to surround themselves with that, and they're very intentional. And then the obsessed with keeping great people is that they generally have some kind of a developmental track, although it's almost always not formal. It's not a formal, oftentimes, leadership development track, but they will know, if you say, well, who are some of your emerging leaders, or who are some of your proven leaders, they'll list off, well, here's some of our emerging leaders. These are some people, they might be newer to the team, they might be newer volunteers in the church position, and these are people that we're watching carefully, or here's some of our proven leaders, and we don't want to lose these people. They can name those couple handfuls of people that they're being very intentional about investing in, and they'll start to give them some of the emerging leaders, they'll give them some stretch jobs and some stretch roles and let them see how they do. And, you know, if they prove capable and trustworthy, they'll give them a little bit more. And so even though it's not a formal leadership development process, they're generally developing some people around them. And then just to say a quick word on the organizational clarity is that there seems to be in the smart churches a pretty good vibe of what's happening in the church, and people are pretty clear on the messaging. They decide pretty quickly what they need to communicate. They shape the words carefully. They use sound bites. They don't use they keep actions as much as possible match words. So I mean, those three things, when I think of smart church practices that I've seen, that seems to be some of the common denominators, if that makes sense.
Okay, so let me interrupt for just a moment.
Sure.
Because I know you've been involved with some pretty exciting dynamic mega churches, but obviously, you know, 98.5% of congregations are not mega. So I think there'll be some people listening who'll say, oh, yeah, if we were a big church, we'd just go hire that sort of stuff. You know, we'd get the very best. But you're not really talking about size or budget. You're talking about a philosophy and practice, correct?
Absolutely. I don't put any distinction when I'm working with key staff people or key volunteer people. It's all the same type of motivation tools, the same type of developmental tools that I use with volunteers as I use with staff people. And I really don't care whether they get a paycheck or not. I don't see these churches really caring a whole lot about that. They're just looking at giftedness and drive and passion and trying to get people into right places.
That's a great point. And I think, you know, it's so easy to sort of excuse that, but I just wanted to clarify that. So talk to us a little bit. You talk about smart church practices. What's the difference between smart and healthy?
Healthy church practices are things that you feel like they're things that create relational connects between people. Like one of the things that I notice in healthy churches is they really have a culture that embraces and leverages relationships. They really take time to get to know the people without being all kumbaya, warm and fuzzy all the time. But there's a personal connect. There's a relational thing that they have with each other. They know each other's families to a certain extent. Or one of the rules after being around some of these people that I've kind of made up and created in my own life is that if I'm having a one-hour meeting with a person, the first 10 minutes of that is just relational time. If it's a one-on-one, maybe it's a volunteer who reports to me or a staff person, I spend the first 10 minutes, how is their family, how are they doing? I share a little bit about myself. It's a 10-minute investment into the personal connect that makes the next 50 minutes go a lot smoother. And the same thing if you have a half hour, first 5 minutes. It's making it personal, relational connect. And that buys a lot of leverage on the days when things aren't going well because you've got that deep relationship with people.
So, Tammy, let me just ask you a real quick question. If you're sitting down with a person who seems to be really agenda-oriented, how do you handle those first 10 minutes if they think, why are we here? You know, are we going to get to the point?
Mm-hmm. I'm like that. I personally am like that. I am very agenda-driven. And so to do the relational thing is almost painful for me at times. And so it's a discipline. It was literally a discipline that I put in my life, and I try to pattern it for people because if I don't pattern it for people, then they're not going to take it. I want them to take it out of my office or out of my meeting time and pattern that with the next group of volunteers or whatever that they're working with. So even though it's not something, it does not come naturally to me to do that, but it's a discipline that I've instilled in my life because I've seen it work so well in the lives of other church leaders, and I want this to be something, a piece of a development track that I pass on to other people.
That's good. That's great. Good. Sorry to hijack you.
Oh, no, that's good. So, you know, just a couple other thoughts on healthy church practices is I see these churches taking time to celebrate the wins. You know, we all know ministry is tough, and you get up every day, and there's, you know, 20 more things to do than you're ever going to get done. But the healthy churches really do take a little bit of time to just celebrate the wins. They talk about it. They don't take hours and hours, but they look at what God has accomplished through the life of the church, and they celebrate it, and then they move on with their next endeavor. And one other thing that I noticed in healthy churches is they seem to invite a lot of involvement, meaning that the staff and the volunteers that are there feel like they're owners in the place, that they will say, you know, we had this brainstorming session, and we all got to be part of it, and we all got to voice our ideas, or we did this church-wide survey because we wanted to know what people thought, and here's what I put on my survey. And they know that not all their ideas are going to get to be the final ideas, but they feel like they've participated, and that makes them feel like owners. And that creates a different kind of an environment and vibe when you walk into these places.
That's great. That's great. So talk to us about the people side, because it really is about the people. How do we be more effective, become more effective.
Yeah, you know, and I've worked around some great church leaders, and so I just try to study them and see what I can learn in my own life and what I can learn to share with others. So, you know, a couple of smart people practices that I've picked up over time is these church leaders seem to be really disciplined. The church leaders that have crossed my path that I would describe as successful in making an impact in the kingdom, they come into the day and they have a plan and they work a plan. It doesn't mean that they're not, you know, flexible, but they don't let the day drive them and go, kind of go with the ebb and flow. There really is a game plan. There's a game plan to the meetings that they lead. There's a game plan to from the time they come into the office and the activities that they do. There's a meaningful, and a lot of times a written down list of here's how I'm going to use my day. And I'm going to use the best hours of my day to do my most important work, and I'll use the other hours to get the other activities done. So there's a real planning to that. So they're smart and they're thinking through that. And they also think about the intensity, meaning like before they speak, especially if it's some kind of a debate or a conflict type situation, they evaluate the energy of the other person. They match that level of energy. They don't overpower the person. They are intentionally thinking about the intensity that they need to have that conversation with. And then the third thing, as I noticed, is most of the time, if they're going into what could be some dramatic meeting or something of fairly good importance, they'll have a plan B in mind. They'll do some advanced troubleshooting, and they'll think, okay, well, if the meeting starts to go this way, then I might need to have these other documents ready, or I may need to have these other conversation points ready, or I anticipate the top three questions that people are going to ask are these three things, and I'm going to have answers kind of pre-prepared or pre-thought through to that. So I've always been amazed that it's not, it looks like a gut, like I'm talking from the gut when these people are in these meetings, but you, after being around them, I know that they've really thought carefully about the timing, the intensity, and the plan B, or how the meeting may go, and having an alternative in play. And then the third thing, just to throw out there, is just I've seen these people be very courageous. They take smart, calculated risks. They'll sometimes do things that they're not sure how they're going to turn out. They don't do it just at a whim. They think through them carefully. But you would generally call these people a little bit of risk takers. And they tend to do what's right. Not always what's easy. So that's some of the smart people practices.
It's healthy people practices.
Yeah, healthy people practices. And maybe these are a little bit more intuitive, but these are things that I guess that I try to develop in my own life after, you know, watching people. I want a pattern. But healthy people practices that I've noticed is an unwavering commitment. I mean, the people that I've been around that I would say are healthy, they have this unwavering commitment to Christ, to their family and friends, to the church. They're very committed and very dedicated, but they also take responsibility for their things that God has put in their lives. So, I know that's kind of the smart and healthy, and some of the things that I have found to be healthy for me, and as I've shared it with others, that from time to time that seems to be has helped them a little bit along the way.
You know, I think that's such a great idea. In grad school, I know we use a word called metacommunication, which basically is communicating how you communicate. And I think this whole theme of health and working smart, ministry smart, really is one of those things we don't talk about enough, because we just get sucked into the ministry itself.
Yeah.
And we need to sort of step back, and I really, really appreciate the way you've created this collage of healthy ideas, smart ideas. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. If you'd like to learn more about Rev Magazine, go to rev.org and discover the most practical church leader periodical. I'm Alan Nelson, wishing you God's best in your ministry.